everyone. We're Day One Update. My name is Gokomo, and I am joined by
Lazar over the internet.
Over the internet, yes.
Over Discord.
He didn't want to come to my house to record. So,
nah.
Maybe I should do it over the phone.
I mean, I figured if Air's not going to show up, then one of us can stay on.
Well, he's in a different city.
But, it's fine.
Whatever. Okay.
Like, two more blocks, I'd be in a different city too, technically.
All right. I'll give you that. Anyways, today we don't really have a topic because this was really out of nowhere. We just decided to record something. So, what's going on in your life, Quasar?
Christmas, Black Friday, all that stuff. Ooh, I set up a ring. You know, the ring alarm stuff?
Oh, yeah. Did you actually set it up? No, I thought you were just did like the other stuff.
The alarm, the door sensors and stuff like that, I set that up sometime last week. Really fun. I think I set up Thursday. The doorbell itself, the video camera doorbell, that's going to take some time because I got an old house, so I need an adapter. So I had to ask Ring to send me one for free and ship from America.
Oh, how long did that take?
Well, they shipped it out the day before American Thanksgiving, and it's going to come, estimates, this Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully by then I'll have everything set up.
So now you could look at your deliveries arrive from your phone.
Like, not going to lie, that is the main reason why I got it, just so I can say, hey, stop walking away, just leave it.
Wait, stop walking away.
Like, leave it behind the fence.
The guy's going to trip out so much.
It's like if they see the Ring doorbell and they're like, ah, oh, shit, we gotta do this. Like, drop the slip in and run fast.
They have to be careful with your package, too. They can't just chuck it at the ground.
Also, I'm getting more paranoid about stolen packages. It's never happened to me yet, but a dude who lives across from me had his electric scooter stolen right when, I think during the night, middle of the night.
Yo, do you know my projector screen?
Oh, yeah, and you set up a fancy new 4K projector.
Yeah, I was assuming that when they dropped off the projector screen, they would have request a signature, right? This time, they didn't. They didn't request a signature.
Half the time when the package says, oh, signature required, they don't give a damn.
I was wondering, if no one answered the door and they just left it on the porch, what would have happened?
Nah.
Because that was a hefty...
They're probably, too lazy to lug it all the way back.
Yeah, that was a pretty big box, and it was expensive, right? So I'm like, if no one answered the door and they left it there and it got stolen, I would have been screwed.
Though I don't think somebody would go out of their way to steal something that big. Like, nobody's driving around in a pickup truck stealing packages.
No, you don't know. These people are determined.
Steal an electric scooter without a key, so...
Yeah, we got our projector set up, right? Our fork.
Looks good.
I got the Optima Cinemax P1 projector with the ALR, which is ambient light rejecting projector screen. And it looks really good. There were a few, I pre-ordered it, so there were a few bugs when it first came out, like the HDR signal. Do you remember that?
Was it there when I was there setting it up?
Yeah, it would, when we put in an HDR Blu-ray and it would switch to HDR, the screen would flicker for a while until it cuts the signal correct. Yeah, they
I
did
thought that was because of your Xbox.
No, that was because of the projector. So they did an update recently and that fixed that issue now.
Nice.
Within a day after, there was an update and I tried it on. I tried it again, put an HDR Blu-ray in, and it stuttered for 1 second like it usually does. Any HDR TV would do. And it went straight to HDR perfectly fine without any issues. So that was great. That fixes one of the biggest issues.
Oh, that was fast. You know, it's almost a blessing that you got your projector a month after they promised you.
Yeah.
Because then you only have to deal with that issue for a week.
Yeah. The only thing that's kind of an issue is the input lag. Right?
So, when gaming and stuff?
Yeah. So when gaming, there is a bit of an input lag. So if you're playing casual games, it's not too big of a deal. But if you're playing quick action shooters or quick action games, it can get a little noticeable and kind of like your timing's off and with everything.
Have you been able to figure out that thing where if HDR is in a game, then you cannot activate like other modes, like game mode and stuff like that?
Well, that would turn off HDR. You would just turn off HDR in that case.
Yeah. You could do that easily then.
Yeah, you could just turn off HDR, then switch to the other modes if you want.
There aren't many like instant reaction games that I know that make use of HDR.
Well, Call of Duty.
Does it have HDR support?
Yeah.
A 4K monitor for that, at least.
Yeah, so that's why I had that set up, where like I'm going to have two outputs. So I'm going to have one sending to my 4K monitor where I'm going to play those type of games on, and to the projector so I could watch movies, TV shows, and just play like laid back games and stuff. But
with my 30-inch, 34-inch 1080p TV?
Yeah.
I have to trade in Death Stranding because I literally can't read the goddamn menus. This guy's got two 4K screens. He's got monitor. He's got gaming PC. This guy.
It was a long time coming, okay?
Give me one.
Give you one what?
Much of the work of the projector screen, I'm kind of owed. You got to give me one of the 4K screens.
I only have two. And one of them is not really a screen. One of them's a box that
I don't mind if it's not a screen. I'll take it.
Yeah,
I'll be shining it on my ugly like beige yellowish wall.
Norman Reedus is gonna be a completely different color.
It's just fine. I can't try. I'm so annoyed. I can't trade that game in. I gotta sell it.
Yeah, the EV Games thing ended, right?
Yeah. So I tried telling the story like 2 times before we hit record so we can level my voice.
So you can tell it a third time now.
EV Games had this cool, like, it's a pretty good trade-in thing where it's like, if you trade in a game within 2 weeks of release, you get $50 back, but for major games like Death Stranding, you'd get 30 days, and then you get $50 back. Which is pretty good, especially since I got the game for $50. $50 Canadian, by the way. And, I should have done it for more games than I did, but my plan was trade in Death Stranding, and fortunately they got rid of it. They got rid of it right before I was going to trade it in. It was there like a month ago, but now it's just gone, and it's only 2 weeks, so now they only gave $30, and I got to try Kijiji, and it sucks. I hate Kijiji so much. Oh my god, I hate it.
Did you get any responses so far for Death Stranding on Kijiji?
I have in caps in the title, no trades. The only response I got so far was, I'll trade you a list of these games that are like 3-4 years old.
Hey, have you heard of Super Mario Brothers for Nintendo 64? I'll trade you that.
I'm gonna probably just drop the price, and or I'll just tell my friends who live like in downtown Toronto and stuff like that to put up ads for me and stuff.
That's bad. Did you watch The Irishman by any chance?
I watched the first half. I was house sitting for my cousin who has Netflix, so I ended up watching it there, but I had to leave about the halfway point. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I finished it.
It's good, isn't it?
It's good. Some of the shots, like the cinematography for some of the shots, is so good.
Man, it's just, it blows my mind that, okay, so I'm watching that movie, and it's like, okay, I know Jimmy Hoffa is Al Pacino. I know Robert De Niro is the main character.
Yeah.
And then as that thing is going, it's like, that little guy kind of looks like Joe Pesci. Huh.
And then yeah, he kind of looked like Joe Pesci, right?
And then he comes back later in the thing. He's like, oh my God, that's Joe Pesci. And then Robert De Niro goes up and is like, hey, thanks for helping me with my truck. So I'm like, oh my God, that guy earlier was Joe Pesci too.
Yeah.
I didn't know he got like small and skinny. I thought he was like kind of fat. Damn.
Yeah, I was like, when he was.
Also, Ray Romano.
Huh? Oh, Ray Romano, yeah. And his.
I thought he was tall and skinny. Then he got fat.
And wasn't the other guy his brother in Everybody Loves Raymond?
Robert, like the
yeah.
No, I don't think he's an Irishman.
Who was that then? Who was the guy that the mate Robert De Niro first started working for?
Oh, that dude. I don't know. I'll look it up.
He started. I thought it was him. Is it not him?
Loves Raymond, but I'm gonna do it in incognito mode because I don't want Google to think.
Do you love Raymond?
I'm really interested in this. Yeah.
What was his name? Bobby Sandoval.
Brad Garrett.
Oh no, this is someone else.
Yeah. No, I got nothing on this.
Yeah,
film.
It's not him. This is
would have been funny.
It kind of looked like him. I thought it was him at first. He's from Will and Grace, Ant-Man, and yeah. Damn it, I thought it was him. Would have been cool if it was him.
It's a crossover. Irishman is canon to Everybody Loves Raymond.
Irishman is canon. Oh my God. Yo, but the movie, like, it's long. It's like 3.5 hours, right?
Yeah, like there are a lot of people who put up things like, oh, if you wanna break, this is the best moment to do it, or it's like, all right, let's break it up into 4 episodes. And it's just like, I mean, yeah, it's a long movie, but just watch it. Just sit down and watch it, man.
Yeah. I saw this. The only thing is, do you know how like they do that young man CGI thing?
Yeah.
Where they make him look younger. Like it's not bad. Like it you could tell that it's CG, and like some of them look like Call of Duty cutscenes or something like that. But
Yeah, I didn't really like, okay, Robert De Niro for the most part was okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other character, like
Joe Pesci was noticeable.
Joe Pesci's was bad.
Yeah.
It was outright bad. And I'm going to blame that for the reason why I didn't fully recognize him the first time.
Yeah.
Well, we saw Joe Pesci in the car or older before we saw the young version, and I didn't put it together that that's also Joe Pesci. I only realized Joe Pesci in the restaurant scene.
Yeah, it's like
and
it's
they cut back to them the car and the wives wanting to smoke, and I'm like, oh crap, that's Joe Pesci too.
It wasn't too bad. Like it didn't like irk me. It was still good. I still enjoyed it, but like. The only thing wrong with, I think I brought this up during the Captain Marvel, when we watched Captain Marvel, when they did it on Nick Fury, was like, when you make someone look young, you can't really make their movements look young, right? Mm-hmm. So Robert De Niro still walked around and like fought and like acted like he was in his 70s, which he is. So yeah. Like there's scenes where he's fighting and it's like, okay, that's like very slow. And like, you could tell his age from that. That was the scenes where I'm like, okay, that kind of took me out. But overall, like, this is the last movie these three guys are going to be able to play roles like these because they're hitting that age now, right? So it was like a good like movie bringing these three big mafia mobster actors that were so iconic in these roles, bring them back, right?
Robert De Niro and Al Pacino were not in the same movie before.
Yeah. Wait,
like I thought for sure.
Were they not? I swear they're in a movie together.
De Niro, Al Pacino movies. I'm pretty sure it's just Irishman because I remember finding this out and being shocked.
I swear I remember seeing one that they did together.
I mean, Robert De Niro's on Godfather, right?
No.
And Robert De Niro's not.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro's they've been in Heat before.
Yeah, they've been in Heat and Righteous Kill. Yeah, Righteous Kill. I remember that. Righteous Kill wasn't that good though.
Oh, you know what? I think it's like Al Pacino and Martin Scorsese.
He was also in The Godfather Part 2. First...
Yeah. Huh. I saw an article that like blew my mind. Like, this is the first time Al Pacino and Martin Scorsese worked together, I think. Maybe that's it?
Maybe.
Martin Scorsese movie. Let's try that. Oh, yeah, no. Straight up Irishman, first time.
Okay, nice. That's cool. Kind of late though. I wish they did it before, but good enough.
If it's good movie, then sure. Why not, right?
And it was, damn, that was some good. That was a good experience, man.
Where Jimmy Hoffa was getting his mugshot taken.
Yeah.
And then I think that's right where I stopped. But man,
you should finish it off and let me know, because there's like the ending and the stuff. Like, it was pretty good. Mm. It was all based on a true story too. That's pretty interesting.
Jimmy Hoffa was, you know that speech earlier where he wrote De Niro was like, yeah, Jimmy Hoffa was like the Beatles and shit, stuff like that. That wasn't exaggerate. That was not an exaggeration. He was huge. Like if we were talking like modern day equivalent, who do you think the biggest man in America is other than the president? Like Jimmy Hoffa would have been that guy.
Elon probably.
No, like somebody that everybody knows. Everybody is. Like, he's always on the news. He's on the, like, on the political conscious more than the president, for example. Stuff like that. Because he was the union guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, what
union? Union culture was huge in America.
Mm. Yeah, that's I never heard of Jimmy Hoffa before. So, like, when they said, like, oh, yeah, he was, like, super famous, I was like, wait, how come I've never heard of him? And, like, the whole story surrounding him was... It's such a huge thing, but I guess it was never really resolved until the main character died real life, right? Because then the book came out that pretty much confessed everything.
Hmm. He just disappeared in 75.
Yeah. Right? And they never knew it. They didn't find out anything about it until that book came out that Robert De Niro, Frank Sheeran wrote or co-wrote.
So Frank is a real character?
Yeah, Frank Sheeran is a real character.
A real person.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, didn't know that.
I searched him up. There was a book that came out that was... I forgot who wrote it, but someone else wrote it. And and that's where like the whole story came out about like how Frank Sheeran was involved with the Jimmy Hoffa disappearance and stuff like that.
Hmm. Interesting. Cool. I'll watch it eventually.
Do you know what the book is called?
What is it called?
I Heard You Paint Houses, Frank, the Irishman Sheeran, and the Closing of the Case on Jimmy Hoffa. Came out 2004.
Good title. Especially since how the movie starts.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a good title.
Yeah, it was written by Charles Brandt and claims that Sheeran confessed to killing Hoffa. And he died in 2003, Frank Sheeran.
Really?
Yeah, at the age of 83 years old.
I might add that to Audible. I have a random Audible credit sitting around.
Yeah, this book.
I wonder if that's also narrated by Frank De Niro, Robert De Niro.
That'll be interesting.
Bro.
How long is the book? Because I'd be interested in reading it too. It's 384 pages. It's not that long.
Size. Oh, how big are the pages?
Massive. They're Bristol boards.
Or it could be like little pocketbook, and it's just like, oh, this is done in like an hour.
Yeah. But
a word a page.
Huh? A word a page, like Dr. Seuss? It's a Dr. Seuss book, but 384 pages. 384 words. what other movies or shows have you been watching recently?
It's on anime.
Huh?
Which reminds me, I have been lax on anime. I have to catch up on Babylon, Vinland Saga, and Chirahayafu.
Oh my god, yo. Babylon episode 7.
Yeah, like every time I saw Babylon 7 on my watch list, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm in the mood for this. I want to watch something lighthearted. And then I just never ended up watching it.
Yo, I'm like waiting to show you something. So like, I have it on the ready. Like right when you say I watched it, I'm going to send it.
It's a random me. The amount of time it's like, all right, I watch an episode. I'm like, I go on Reddit. I find the funniest Joker picture or meme or something. And I'm like, I got nobody to send this to. Nobody else watches the show.
This isn't a funny meme though. This is like, holy shit. Like, when you find out, it's interesting.
I'll make it funny, don't worry.
Yeah, but oh man, what was it? Yeah, we saw The Mandalorian Well, first episode. Did you watch anything after that?
Yeah, I'm caught up now.
Oh shit, I'm not. I only watched one episode.
Oh damn. Well, you gotta catch up, man.
Because I've been catching up anime for the past 4 days because I'm like 5 weeks behind on everything. So I'm like halfway done catching up.
It's good, Mandalorian. I thought it was gonna be a 1 hour show. I think everybody thought it was gonna be like an hour long per episode show.
Yeah, it's like 40 minutes, right?
Well, yeah, the first episode is the longest one, I think, so far. Some of them are, they range between 25 to 40 minutes.
That's interesting. Varying lengths for episodes?
It's good, though. It's really good.
Yeah. The first episode is great. I'm interested. I just need to go down, sit down and watch it. But Watchmen. So I remember when His Dark Materials and Watchmen came out around the same time, and I was deciding which show to pick up first. And I decided on His Dark Materials because the first episode of Watchmen people were saying was all right. But the new episode that came out, Twitter is going crazy. Everyone's saying, like, this is one of the greatest shows they've seen. And I'm like, I think I picked the wrong show.
For Watchmen, they're saying that?
Yeah. The HBO show, Watchmen. So I need to get on that now.
I kind of forgot Watchmen was airing. So I have to find a way to watch that first.
Like, everyone on Twitter is blowing up about this new episode of Watchmen. And I was like, what the hell, man? Like, His Dark Materials is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm really enjoying His Dark Materials, too. But I need to start watching Watchmen. They have 7 episodes out right now, currently.
Hmm. Interesting. Did you hear about the first impressions for the Witch show?
Yeah, I heard some people are saying it's better than Game of Thrones. But, like, again, yeah. That's... Everyone says that.
Well... Like, after season 8, everybody kind of retroactively thinks all the seasons of Game of Thrones were bad. So whenever they're like, oh, it's better than Game of Thrones, they really mean better than just, like, the late Game of Thrones episodes, like the last 3 seasons. Which, yeah. Not exactly a high bar.
But the fact that it is getting majority of positive feedback, it does give me a lot of hype for the show.
Mm.
And when is it coming out? December 20th or something?
I don't remember. I thought it was November, and then I just forgot it existed. So, not sure.
This sounds just like you. Yeah, December 20th. Shit.
That's late.
We're watching Star Wars that day.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
I should add that to my calendar then.
December 20th, we are watching, Star Wars. So I guess we're watching The Witcher and Star Wars.
I guess so. December. That's a Friday.
Yes, it is.
Advent. Be disappointed at Star Wars. What time?
Ooh. It starts at 8. 8:15.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'm fairly certain I know what happens in that movie anyway.
Another thing. I mean, I'll watch
it because it's Star Wars, but like.
You know what else is coming up?
No.
Is Hideo Kojima's best friend?
Guillermo del Toro? Mads Mikkelsen?
Jeff?
Oh, I know. Jeff Goldblum. Right.
The Game Awards.
Game Awards hosted by Jeff Goldblum.
Oh my god, that would be hilarious. I can't even do a Jeff Goldblum impression, so I don't even know how that would go. I'm not even gonna try.
Just be really creepy.
It would just be him with his hands about and like, I don't know.
And constantly changing the subject because you just forgot what you were talking about. What do you think of those nominations?
Yeah,
Death Stranding has way too many.
I'm gonna go through them. So should we start with Game of the Year or should I just go down from?
Yeah, go in whatever way. I really only have 3 things to say.
But... All right. So the Game of the Year, we got Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, Smash Bros. Ultimate, and The Outer Worlds.
The only 2 I think are deserving are Smash, Resident Evil 2, and maybe Outer Worlds, just because I know how many people like that.
Outer Worlds is amazing. I would definitely put that up there.
Right, like I don't know anything about it, but I know how loved and critically acclaimed it is, which is why it deserves to be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, like I already said before, Death Stranding, I hated it personally. A lot of people loved it, but the thing is, a lot of people hated it too. So why is something that is so controversial and like, well, not split down the middle per se, but it has a sizable negative review base. Why is that one of the game of the years? And why is that the most nominated game? It's, I really hope that Jeff Keighley wouldn't have gotten a little biased, but I feel like it is bias.
I don't know. But like, I could, Death Stranding, a lot of people, like they didn't like it, the gameplay wise, but they did enjoy the story and what it was trying to, what the game was trying to do. I guess maybe that makes it stand out, which makes it go for game of the year kind of type of deal.
Yeah, but a lot of people said there's a big portion of the game, aka the gameplay, that is just bad.
Mm-hmm.
How can you be game of the year when you can only excel in one thing and be poor in another thing? And it's not an uncommon opinion. It might not be the majority of people, but there's a sizable amount of people who dislike the game, who actively dislike the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Control was also really good. I did really enjoy Control. It was Control, a fun though, game.
I heard everybody who played it had issues with like frame rate and jank, like general jank and glitches.
Oh, I had a lot of glitches. I had a glitch where it's third person, right? You know how it's supposed to be camera over the shoulder?
Huh?
I had a glitch where my character, when I would aim down the sights, is right in the center on top of the crosshair. So I couldn't see what I was shooting at.
Game of the year.
But the game is fun. The game is good. I really did enjoy the game. The gameplay is actually really cool. The physics and the destruction is actually really cool. The powers are cool. Like, it's, overall, it's a great game. But it was just that, those few glitches that came out. Resident Evil 2, I heard amazing things about, so I'm not surprised it's up here. Sekiro, I don't think, like, it was as popular as like Bloodborne or Dark Souls? It didn't make as big of a splash as I thought those ones did.
Out of positive reviews, it had a lot of goodwill in the beginning. I feel like universally everybody kind of accepted that towards the last third of the game, it got stale because there was only one way to play the game. And it was the one fit, like, you only have the sword and there's only the one secondary attack that's any good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how everybody played the game, and that's how everybody, and you got, since you got that secondary attack so early in the game, you essentially played the entire game the same way. And a lot of people thought, I was like, all right, it's stale. Like, a lot of it's cool. I like exploring. I like the setting. I like all that stuff. But people are like, they started with it being like, this is the best Souls game ever. And then they ended with, it's okay. Or some people like did not mind the fact that it was so repetitive, or they forced themselves to play in multiple different ways. But it's like, at that point, you're forcing yourself to play in a harder way. Like, oh, this game is good because you force yourself not to press triangle all the time. That doesn't make the game better. Just you added a challenge onto yourself. Right?
Yeah, like I played the game. The game was fun, so, but I could see that being a bit of a kind of like a thing that kind of plateaus the game a bit towards the end. There's only one gameplay style, really.
But its inclusion on the list, I feel like it makes sense. I don't think it should win,
mm-hmm.
but I'd rather have that win than Death Stranding, obviously.
Yeah. Actually, looking at the next category, so we have action game. Then we have Apex Legends, Astral Chain, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Devil May Cry 5, Gears 5, and Metro Exodus. I would actually put Gears 5 and replace
this
Control.
Is for action game?
Yeah. I would take Gears 5 and replace Control in Game of the Year and throw Control in action game.
Why are shooters in action game?
Because it is an action game.
No, but why don't they have their own category as a best shooter?
No.
Because you wouldn't really call shooters action games, because by definition, shooters are going to have action in them.
There is no category for best shooter. I don't think there's ever a category for best shooter.
That's kind of dumb. Well, this is the one thing where Devil May Cry 5 deserves to vote, or deserves to win, and it won't. Because like, I think it's only nominated for this and best music.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense, because the music in that game is not... Like, there are other Devil May Cry games that have better music, right? Mm-hmm. Man, like, that's one of my issues, because Devil May Cry 5, for me, is my game of the year. I understand it's not game of the year, because like, a lot of people like Resident Evil 2 more than that. But, man, it just... mixed in with Apex Legends and Call of Duty. That makes no sense. That makes no sense to me.
I've only played a few of these games. So I've played a bit of Astral Chain. I've played all of Call of Duty. I've played a bit of Devil May Cry and Gears. Gears 5 is amazing. Call of Duty has a good storyline. Devil May Cry is really fun, and so is Astral Chain. Who would win action game?
Definitely not Devil May Cry 5.
I would say I would vote Devil May Cry 5 because of how fun the action is in that game. But I'm assuming it's probably going to be Apex or...
it's going to be a shooter.
Apex or... I don't know. I don't think Metro is going to win.
Actually, let me see. Video game... awards 2018 winners, and let's see who won the
I would say Apex is gonna win that category.
Devil May Cry 5 deserves, and I'm not saying it just because I'm a huge Devil May Cry fan, but Devil May Cry 5 is usually okay. Action games in general, like character action games specifically, the only two that were ever at the top were Bayonetta 1 and Devil May Cry 3, and for years it was only ever Devil May Cry 3, Bayonetta 1. Those were the only ones that could never be topped. No other game that released since those decades could ever become close to that quality. No matter how many games Platinum Games comes out with, no matter how many like hack and slash games there are from God of War and stuff like that, nothing beats the intricacy and the depth of those games. Until Devil May Cry 5 comes out, and it won over a sizable majority of those people. Going forward, we'll be in that pantheon of Devil May Cry 3 and Bayonetta 1.
Yeah.
And it deserves to be action game of the year because it's currently sitting at the best action character action game of all time right now for a lot of people. So if it ends up losing to like a shooter, which deserves its own goddamn thing, like its own goddamn category, then it'll be annoying.
Yeah, because I don't think, I'm pretty sure Apex is probably going to take this category. Considering the behemoth that Apex is.
Is it still going on?
It was huge during the year. So I'm assuming Apex would take it. Like, I don't think Astral Chain is going to win. Call of Duty, I don't think that's going to win because of the multiplayer issues.
Last year, Far Cry 5, Destiny 2, Call of Duty, Black Ops 4, and Mega Man were all nominated, but the winner was Dead Cells.
Oh.
Interesting. I never would have expected Dead Cells to be over Destiny or Black Ops. You know what?
Well, Black Ops was critically panned as well. Black Ops was critically panned.
Why was it on the fucking list then? What the hell? That doesn't make me feel better. Just but and isn't this Call of Duty critically panned as well?
This one? It's generally positive. It just has
multiplayerly.
The multiplayer is good. It just has that balancing issue.
2017 Wolfenstein 1.
That's not bad. Wolfenstein was a good action game.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first year for it? 2016? No, 2015 maybe.
Are you going to go through all of them?
I'm going through all the stuff. I'm going to make it like... an algorithm based on all the action games. Doom won best action game of 2016.
That makes sense.
These were all shooters. It was Doom, Battlefield 1, Gears of War 4, Overwatch, and Titanfall 2.
Well, I don't think there wasn't that many other action games that came out that year then.
Apparently not. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, so action adventure game. We got Borderlands 3, Control, Death Stranding again, Resident Evil 2 again, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, and Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Which one was this? Action Adventure.
So Control did have the puzzle solving and the adventure, but it was one small map, being you were in a small building the entire game. So I don't know, it didn't have that adventure feeling, but it did have the puzzle solving. So I don't...
Resident Evil 2 is kind of the same way. Resident Evil 2 was in only had three locations: the police station, the sewers, and a lab. And it kind of has a sense of adventure in that you're exploring more stuff. I haven't played Control, but I know it's like mostly based in a single building that you have to solve the mystery for. The only game I don't know if it belongs on here is I don't know, Borderlands 3, I guess? That's not really...
Well, Borderlands 3 is a massive open world game, so I guess...
Yeah, I guess.
That has adventure in it. Sekiro.
Yeah, I guess it would be, like, depending on what we categorize as adventure, you know?
I think Sekiro has a really good adventure action type mix.
Because
it was tough action, fun action, but it also had that experience of exploring this massive world with a bunch of maps that every corner has something in it, right? Like, it was like you would go down this map, you go down a mountain, and there's this massive baboon there fighting you with a sword. Like, it's like it's just stuff you randomly find while playing. So Sekiro makes sense. I didn't play Link's Awakening, so I have no idea about that.
But we all know Link's Awakening from the original. Like, it'll be of that quality.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it deserves to be on there.
Death Stranding, big map, exploring. You walk around everywhere.
I mean, I guess. If it was just adventure game, then maybe I'd be okay with it winning. Action adventure, though? Not very good in that game. Straight up, so.
Yeah. I don't have...
I'm shocked that Jeff Keighley didn't put Death Stranding as best RPG or best fighting game.
Best fighting game.
Well... right, you fight the guys with the square button. Best fighting game.
Best fighting. I feel hilarious. I don't have too many gripes with this category. I think some of these games actually make sense here, but again, the one that I would pick for being my favorite action adventure balance would be Sekiro, because that's the one I played.
Fair enough.
So next we have art direction presented by Samsung QLED.
there's an even funnier one.
I know, I'm gonna get to that. So we have Control again. This is his third one. Death Stranding, also his third one. Gris, Sayonara Wild Hearts, Sekiro again for third one, for the third time, and Link's Awakening for its second time.
This is one of those things where it's like, these are the one of the few that indie games are on here, and mm-hmm. I feel like this, not I wouldn't give it to an indie game like Gree or Sayonara Wild Hearts because they're the only indie in the heavy hitter category, but it's those have more interesting art direction. Yes, Death Stranding has very good art direction, you know. Sekiro has a very excellent art direction, but they're kind of,
I think,
general
Gris
standards.
Might win this one.
Gree and Sayonara Wild Hearts mm-hmm. are actually like unique, and mm-hmm. they do something different, and they're actual, it looks like art.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember when this nomination came out,
it takes a lot of balls. Sorry?
Yeah, I remember when this nomination came out, everyone was saying that Gree should win this, like, hands down.
I think Sayonara Wild Hearts I like better than Gree.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'd be fine with either of those.
Mm-hmm.
And if not those two, then I think Sekiro.
Mm-hmm. This is the category where indie games have like the chance of winning one of these big categories.
Because
indie games are always not afraid to step out of the general norm of art design, and they go their own direction. So they always stand out the most in this category. Okay. So, anything else you want to say about the other games, or should I go to the next category?
I want one of the indies to win.
Okay. So audio design. We have Call of Duty for its second, Control for its fourth, Death Stranding for its fourth, Gears 5 second, Resident Evil 2, I think this was a third? I think so,
yeah.
And Sekiro for its fourth as well. I'm losing count. What did I say that?
Yeah, there's no point keeping count.
Okay.
Death Stranding has like more than 10. Whatever.
Okay, so I want to say Call of Duty winning audio design. Those boots were way too loud, man. You could hear those across
Call of Duty,
the map.
They clearly, they made a conscious decision to make the footsteps really loud. It just was not the right call for a lot of people.
Like, everything else was fine. The gunshots and everything sound great, but the foots are way too loud.
Audio design, is that including the mixing of music, or is everything
music related?
It just says
recognizing the best in-game audio and sound design.
I do like how Death Stranding has those cut-ins with the music when you're walking across long planes, and then there are like when there's a really serene moment that there's not going to be any threats, they have a song play. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy those moments. Resident Evil 2, for a horror game, audio design has to be perfect, which I think Resident Evil 2 nails. I'm not sure about any other of the games, but I'd like Resident Evil 2 to win because horror games like rely on that.
Rely so on much, audio.
And it's done perfectly.
Yeah.
Sorry, hello?
Yeah, like horror games have like fully rely on audio to be one of those key factors, right?
Hmm. Yeah, Death Stranding has really, really cool choices.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like when the mules are after you and there's like that screaming, like the noise in the background. That's really cool.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not too familiar with this category. I don't really notice a lot of these things. Like Control, like yeah, it was okay. Like I wouldn't put it above other games. Death Stranding, like you said, Resident Evil 2 is a horror game, so audio design is one of its key factors for storytelling, so it has to be up there. But like other games like Call of Duty, I wouldn't give that Sekiro either. Like the music was okay, but like it wasn't like amazing, I'd say. I don't know.
Are you looking at this list for nominees? Just the main site?
The main site.
Video Game Board? Okay.
Next is community support. Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. I don't play any of these games, so I have no idea.
All I really know about these games are the Reddit sub. Like, if the subreddit, if they have a topic that reaches the front page of all or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, everything but... Okay, these are all active things. These are all, like, they're keeping the game from dying. In a community level, any of them could win. Any of them are fine. You'd have to be part of these communities to know for sure like what deserves to win and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But for my very limited interaction, like I tried starting Final Fantasy 14 and stuff like that, it was okay. Like community support was okay when I was trying to start it and like know what server to join and stuff like that. Apex Legends, there was a lot of complaining and memeing and stuff like that. Destiny 2, there was yeah, you know what? I'm fine. I'd be whatever with any of them.
Important. Yeah, like I'm not too familiar with any of these games, so I wouldn't know. But any of these, I guess, would be it's an online game. They have to make changes for the community anyway. So like, mm-hmm. I don't know. And then the next few categories are like esports and content creators, which I have no idea about.
So huh? Let's just skip these.
Yeah, because I have no idea about these.
No, I don't know any of these people, so let's keep going.
So, family game.
It's funny, you know what's...
Yeah, what?
Last year, best fighting game was... best esports player was Sonic Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, because a lot of people were like, this furry one, man. No fighting game... no FGC people are on any of the esports stuff. Except for esports event. Because they kind of have to.
Yeah. Oh, man. So... Next category is family game. Luigi's...
Oh my god, there's so much esports stuff. I'm still scrolling.
Yeah, this is very... We have Luigi's Mansion 3, Ring Fit Adventure, Super Mario Maker 2, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and Yoshi's Crafted World.
Smash All Bros. Nintendo Ultimate. Games.
Smash Bros. Ultimate. For me.
Smash. It's
because that's
Smash.
The one I played most.
Maker 2 because that's popular. I would not be surprised if Luigi's Mansion because that's new. I think Ring Fit Adventure should win just because of how like clever they made exercising and how they made it into an actual game. I really want to get it after watching a couple of videos of how they gamified exercising and how they made it interesting to like change up your routine and change up different exercises. And oh, you have a leveling system. Oh, your enemy has HP that you have to do exercise to lower. It's really good. It's really smart.
But I don't know. Like every time we would get together with any group of friends of mine anywhere, the game that everyone would be down to play and everyone would be, even new players would come in and join, would be usually Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yeah, because it's Smash.
Yeah.
Smash Bros. Smash Bros. It'll always be the party game.
Mm-hmm.
But as a family game and as a game of the year that did something interesting, I'd like Ring Fit to win.
Mm, that's true. But yeah, in terms of popularity, What?
Oh, you go ahead.
I was like, in terms of popularity, Smash Bros. Ultimate, I think, takes it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Also, I just realized right now, I can, you know how I can hear myself through your side?
Yeah.
I can. I know exactly when you're hearing my voice because it's sometimes it's a good like half second. So like my voice is carrying on when you're in the middle of talking, and it makes it seem like I cut you off, but I'm really I stopped talking to let you talk.
Interesting. Well, I can't fix that, so you're gonna have to deal with that. So you can hear double of yourself.
So it's not even me cutting off. It's my echo.
Your echo is cutting me off. So fighting game. This is an interesting category. We got Dead or Alive 6. You got Jump Force. You got Mortal Kombat 11, Samurai Showdown, and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate again.
Smash will win.
The fuck is Jump Force doing here?
Smash will win for sure. Mortal Kombat 11 can possibly win. Samurai Showdown I would like to see win because it's the dark horse and it's the only classic fighting game on here, and it's also by SNK, which like they only came back to life like 2-3 years ago. They were a dead company. They were doing like pachinko games and mobile games until they came back to console games. I feel like they deserve the win. I feel like Samurai Showdown is a really fantastic game. Smash Brothers will win.
Yeah.
Jump Force, I don't know. It's so funny to see like all these casual people. Okay, first of all, Jump Force is not a fighting game.
Yeah.
There's fighting in it. You might as well call Devil May Cry 5 a fighting game. Or fucking Fortnite a fighting game. It's so dumb. But Jump Force, it's so funny because there were so many people who were like, I'm so excited to play as Goku and Luffy and what the hell is this? Because the only people who knew it was going to be bad are people who pay attention to games.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of casual fans or like casual anime fans who were just like, yeah, I'll get it because those favorite anime characters. And then it's universally reviled, you know?
Yeah, everyone hates it.
Bad.
Dead or Alive 6, I haven't really played.
Apparently, it's the... So, when they were doing the promo for Dead or Alive 6, they were like, yeah, this is going to be the first like serious one in a while. We're going to tone down the stupid sexuality. We're going to tone down all the fan service. And then right before the game comes out, they're like, we lied. There's so much fan service in this game. Here are all the fan service in it. And it's just like, ugh. God damn it.
All right, so let's go to the next category. So we got Fresh Indie Game presented by Always Fresh Subway.
Subway!
They had to throw the fresh in the freaking category, didn't they? This.
So
it's like, we'll give you money if you throw fresh in one of the categories.
Oh, God, Subway. I don't think there was anything this cringy last year. There was, remember when Kyle Bossman was helping host it, and there was like the Schick razor, the razor. There was that, but it was also kind of funny and stupid.
Yeah,
this is just corporate cringe.
There, Subway is so blatant, man. Like I was watching a few Korean shows on Netflix. Yo, the way Subway advertises or in those shows is so blatant.
Did you know the Hawaii 5-0 product placement Subway?
No, I didn't.
But I think if you YouTube just Hawaii 5-0 Subway, it's so blatant. And it's weird because in Community, it had fantastic product placement because it was only ever in the background and they never used it as, oh, Subway, but they bought over the space that the Subway had in the food cafeteria, the food court.
No, this was ridiculous. Like, they would always, for lunch, get Subway and they would eat the sub with the wrapper on it with Subway pointing towards the camera while holding a drink in their hand that said Subway on it in a Subway with a massive green wall behind them that says Subway on it.
With whoever presents this, I hope that like Jeff Keighley will allow them to just come in a Subway uniform holding a Subway sandwich and the trophy is just wrapped in a Subway paper. I want them to go late. I want Subway to be
I've seen so many. There was like two shows that had that blatant Subway advertising. I was like, Subway, you're getting ridiculous.
Anyways, okay. From these games,
so the actual games.
There's three. There's My Friend Pedro. There's Outer Wilds. There's Slay the Spire, which is the only one on this list I haven't heard of. And then there's Untitled Goose Game.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't played. a lot of these games, I'll be honest. But the biggest ones I've heard about that made the biggest impression was Outer Wilds, Goose Game, just because of sheer idiocy of the game, and Gree.
My friend Pedro, I heard a lot of the pre-release hype, and after the game came out, I heard nothing of it. Slay the Spire, I've never heard of. Gree is good art direction, but not the best game.
Mm-hmm.
Disco Elysium, I don't know much other than the name. I heard the name a lot, but I don't know any impressions of it. So for me, it comes down to Untitled to Goose Game, which I think is going to be, I think it's a popular choice, or Outer Wilds, which I think is the deserved choice because holy crap, it has a really good plot twist in it that is worth playing. It's one of those games where it's like, I can't tell you about it. Go in blind. And everybody who does go in blind just has the best time.
So
when the shoe drops. Sorry?
So Outer Wilds is on Game Pass, and I've been like
play it.
Questioning it. Like, should I play this?
Dude, play it. If you play it, I will buy it on PlayStation Store, and then we'll play it. Okay? And I want to hear your impressions. Because it...
All right, I'll see if I can start it this weekend.
Or either that, or play only when I'm there, and we'll record something about it.
All right, come over this weekend.
I don't know about this weekend. I'll let you know.
It brushes me off instantly. So we got game direction, Control. This is a standard fare of games. Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, and Outer Wilds. I'm guessing you would go for Outer Wilds.
I don't know much about Outer Wilds other than the big twist that, like, I want to play the game for.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the general like build up, so but I have to experience it for myself. For this, it's going to be Death Stranding. They can't not give it to Death Stranding, whether it's deserved or not. It's a very meticulously directed game.
Yeah,
and I would be shocked if Jeff Keighley allowed anybody but Kojima to win this.
Kojima's going to take home like five trophies. Most squarely
targeted at Kojima. They wouldn't even be, if they could get away with it, they wouldn't even put Death Stranding by Kojima Productions. They would just put Hideo Kojima. The only reason they didn't is because nobody knows the names of the directors of the other games. You know.
Hmm. Kojima's probably going to take home like 5-7 trophies.
Yeah.
Games for Impact. Concrete Genie, Gree, Kind Words, Life is Strange 2, and Sea of Solitude. You know, I've just realized this. There's a game that came out this year that I actually really enjoyed that I thought would be on here. Plague's Tale.
Is that really a game with a social message?
No, not like just for this category. Oh. I mean, overall in this Game Awards, I thought it would at least have one nomination, but it didn't have any.
Interesting.
Like, I really enjoyed that game. That was a game I actually played, sat down, got it, and played straight. Like I didn't really take that many breaks. Like I really enjoyed that game.
Interesting.
Sad that it's not on here though. But I haven't played many of these games that are on here at all, so I can't really say anything about the message they really tell.
Neither have I, so let's just move on.
Yeah. Independent game. Isn't this indie game? What?
Yeah. Wait, what?
I guess the other one is for the developers, and this one is for the games, which is interesting.
Yeah, so Fresh Indie Game is the same. It's for studios, not game.
Okay.
That's why it's called Fresh Indie Game. It's dumb. That's dumb.
So we got Baba Is You, Disco Elysium, Katana Zero, Outer Wilds, and Unlimited Goose Game. Okay, how come I've never heard of Katana Zero, and how come I want to play it so bad now by looking at that picture?
Because it's got that aesthetic. When the trailer came out, I want to say sometime last year, it was just the trailer and the hype around it that like got rid of people sold. It didn't live up to all the hype. I think for a lot of people, it was like an 8 out of 10, but it's pretty good.
Okay. I am interested because that art looks really cool.
Yeah, Baba Is You, Aaron and I put a lot of hours into it because it's a fantastic puzzle game. It's for a lot of people who have like coding-esque minds, like people like you and Air who like know how coding works and know how to programming language works and stuff like that. It is actually really, it's kind of like tailored to you.
Mm.
It's really good.
All right, I guess I'll try it out one time.
I have it, so I'll bring my Switch over one day and we'll play it. But like,
cool,
it's so good.
Well, you keep brushing me off every time I invite you, so I don't even think we're gonna play it.
I'll think about it. I'll think about coming over. I'll think about it. Mobile game.
I didn't play any of these games.
Sayonara Wild Hearts, because that's also not a non-mobile game. Next category. Multiplayer game.
Apex Legends, Borderlands 3, Call of Duty, Tetris 99, and Tom Clancy's Division. Why is that on here?
Tetris 99. It's not a multiplayer game unless, well...
Is it not?
Tetris 99 is not a team game. Oh. You know?
Well, not all of them are.
I know, but all of them have team and PvP, whereas this says only PvP. You know?
So the multiplayer game.
So, also, I mean, I'll still vote for it because I don't care for any of the... You know, Apex deserves a lot of credit, though, for, like, getting Epic scared about Fortnite for, like, a week.
But oh man, they made Fortnite shit its pants for like just about a week. But
they were really concerned for a few days. Next game.
Narrative.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so Plague's Tale for me.
I think Plague's Tale for a lot of people, except for Jeff Keighley. poor Jeff Keighley. Like, the only way people like he can get away from this is if Death Stranding doesn't win every fucking category, but it'll still be the reason. Like, people still assume that he's the reason why it got nominated for everything, even though like every publication has to like send in their own stuff and like their own nominations and stuff like that.
So go through the games. We have Plague's Tale, Control, Death Stranding, Disco Elysium, and Outer Worlds. I am hands down Plague's Tale because the narrative, the story in that game is what got me hooked and what pretty much kept me playing the game. Control, I didn't get that feeling. Death Stranding, I didn't get that feeling. The Outer Worlds, I mostly played for adventure. So for a game that hooked me on narrative, it's definitely Plague's Tale for me.
You're not too big on the SCP stuff, right?
SCP?
Okay, so SCP is really cool. It's a lot of fake conspiracy theories that people... It's essentially a bunch of fan fiction of like creepy government conspiracy theories that they just make for fun. And they call it the SCP. And Control is very much something of that vein, where it's like, you know, the documents that you would read, like the pickup documents that you'd read and the files that you'd read through Control are very much like something you'd see in the SCP wiki or the SCP Reddit community or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So people who are into those like fake copy pasta, like, you know, the creepypasta, stuff like that, people were into that involved like government weirdness. The game is really for them.
Like, those documents...
I'd be whatever with them.
Those documents were definitely really interesting, but for narrative, for me, is just, like, the dialogue and story that is told to you in the game as a main story. That is what really grabbed me. And The Plague's Tale definitely is the one that took me for that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played A Plague's Tale?
No, but I know a ton of people who love it.
Yeah, I would recommend it. You should come over and play it. So next. Ongoing game isn't like this is a like community support. This is the same games.
Ongoing game is like consistently updated games. These are the same list of games.
So same list of games, exactly.
That Monster Hunter Iceborne isn't on here because it got an update. It's an ongoing game. There's going to be an update tomorrow, I think. Introducing more stuff. Last year was Game of the Year for me, and Iceborne made Game of the Year even better, you know?
Yeah. I'm surprised that's not up here.
Like, surprised, like, expansions for a game aren't really considered for Game of the Year and stuff like that, or Best Multiplayer, but it deserves to be on the list for Best Ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
The best-selling Capcom game of all time. It's one of the best-selling Japanese games in, like, this gen.
Yeah.
It's one of the best selling games in the world this gen. And it only came out last year.
Mm-hmm. I would be, like, I'm surprised that Monster Hunter World is on here. I would definitely put it on somewhere in ongoing because of the sheer amount of content that was dropped in Iceborne. Like these games, like they're, I don't play any of them, so I have no idea, but like they could be good as well. But Monster Hunter is the one that had the biggest impact, I believe. So we have performance. So Norman Reedus, Matthew Peretta as the doctor from Control, Mads Mikkelsen as Cliff from Death Stranding, Laura Bailey as Kate from Gears 5, Courtney Hope as the main Jesse Faden from Control, and Ashley Birch as Parvati Holcomb from The Outer Worlds. Norman Reedus, I guess.
I have coined Norman Reedus. Tails, it's going to be Mads Mikkelsen.
It's going to be Mads Mikkelsen? And
it's heads, actually. Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus will win this round.
Other than Death Stranding, I don't know these games, but I know Laura Bailey from Critical Role, and I know she's super proud of her like work on Gears 5, so I wouldn't mind if she won either, but it'll be Norman Reedus or Mads Mikkelsen. Who are we kidding?
Yeah.
Who are we kidding?
Role-playing game? Oh, I know what's going to win this. Disco Elysium, Final Fantasy XIV, Kingdom Hearts 3, Monster Hunter World, Iceborne, and The Outer Worlds.
What? Oh, they categorize RPG as something else. Okay, so I'm surprised Iceborne got nominated for anything because it's an expansion. So it's extra BS that they're not for ongoing game. I don't consider an RPG. It's more of an action RPG, which they don't have a category for.
Kingdom Hearts 3 hands MMO.
Down. Ugh. I mean, I don't know. I guess Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I would say Outer Worlds.
For Monster Hunter and RPG, it's like the least RPG game of all of these, in my opinion.
I would say Outer Worlds for me.
Okay.
Kingdom Hearts, I'm surprised I got nominated. I guess I just got nominated because of the hype.
Kingdom Hearts, well, here's the thing. Kingdom Hearts 3, fantastic music. Without a doubt.
Fantastic what?
Music.
Oh, okay, yeah, for sure. But it's... Did it live up to the Kingdom Hearts 2, the Kingdom Hearts 1? No. Not
hell
at all.
No.
Not
universally,
close.
Universally, hell no.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not going to say that's going to win. Scoring.
Definitely. It's just, it's there to fill out and add a typical Japanese game.
Yeah.
Another, I guess. I don't know.
Score and music. We got Cadence of Hyrule, Death Stranding, Devil May Cry 5, Kingdom Hearts 3, and Sayonara Wild Hearts. I'm assuming you're... Pick is Devil May Cry 5.
Cadence of Hyrule.
Oh, wait, what?
Hyrule.
Sure. Oh, really? Okay.
It's Zelda. It's the best of Zelda music with like remix flair.
Yeah. Have you played the Necromancer?
You can't
game?
Beat that. I played Dance of the Necromancer and I've played a little bit of Cadence of Hyrule.
Okay. Yeah. So that then.
But I've listened to a lot of Cadence of Hyrule music on YouTube though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cadence. I would assume that one has really good music because of I never played it, but I played Dance of the Necromancer. Which is
awesome. Sayonara Wild Hearts is a game that is focused on music. Like music is the front and foremost, just like Cadence of Hyrule. Like those two are the only games on here that focus on music. Mm-hmm. They're good. Sayonara Wild Hearts has the whole thing of like they brought a lot of guest artists and stuff like that to do like every level is but done by a different artist. Devil May Cry 5 is, you know, I like the music in it, but it's not like best of the year or anything. It's just really, really good in my opinion.
Yeah.
Same with Kingdom Hearts 3. Kingdom Hearts 3 is always good. Death Stranding, a lot of the best music though is licensed music, like music from artists that exist, not games or not music made for the game itself, which I feel like is cheating.
And then sports and racing. Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, Dirt Rally 2, Pro Evolution, F1, and FIFA 20.
I appreciate Jeff combining these two categories I don't care about into one.
Dirt Rally 2.0, though. I would say that is my favorite.
It's going to be FIFA. It's going to be FIFA.
I would get pissed if it's FIFA. FIFA has so many issues.
Kirkwall, vote. People, you sign in to vote. It's going to be FIFA.
Shit. Whatever. Strategy game. Age of Wonders, Planetfall, Anno 1800, Fire Emblem Three Houses, Total Worlds, Three Kingdoms, Tropico 6, and Wargroove. Fire Emblem is the only one I played out on this, so that's my only pick.
Same. Same.
Fire Emblem was... I loved it. Like, me and you bashed it, like, no tomorrow before the game came out. But then after it came out, me and you both loved the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like, overall, the characters... The story for it and like the gameplay mechanics and everything, the game was a Fire Emblem game and it did it well. It took out all the it took out and minimized all the crappy BS stuff that was in the 3DS versions of the Fire Emblem games. So I'm 100% Fire Emblem Three Houses for me because that's the only one I played. So
same.
VR and AR game. Well, I haven't played any of these. I don't have a VR game. I just spent a shit ton of money on projector. You think I have enough money for a VR headset? Get out of here, man. But
it's probably Beat Saber because that's the only one I ever see people play.
That is true. But, like, No Man's Sky has VR? What? Since when?
Recent update, I think.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. But, like, I can't say anything about this category. My friend did just get the Valve Index yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And, like, he said it's amazing. But, like, it's expensive. It's really expensive. It's, like, $1,000.
Damn.
Yeah, for a VR headset.
That's all of that for Half-Life.
Yeah, pretty much. He got it right after Half-Life was announced. But he did have the Oculus Rift S before, but he returned it and got this instead.
Hmm.
So what'd you think overall of the Game Awards nominations?
Just
disappointed.
Disappointing. There are a couple of good things here and there, but overall. Well,
mostly the reason we watch the Game Awards is the awards are kind of a side piece, but like the main reasons are like the reveals and the hype moments that are in the Game Awards. I would say that's mostly the reason I watch it. No?
Yeah, pretty much. Same with last year. I'm expecting Smash Brothers' last DLC character for this season pack. I'm hoping for Devil May Cry 5 DLC or something.
Yeah. Well, you've been hoping for Devil May Cry for DLC for like a while now.
They're updating the game. They updated the game right before E3, and they updated the game right before Xbox
19.
Xbox 019. And we know what those updates are.
They're messing with you, man.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think we've exhausted our topics for this week anyway. Game Awards, whatever, we're gonna watch it next week. We're probably gonna record something on it after. If you guys did enjoy listening to this kind of off the cuff recording, please follow us on Twitter at Day One Updates and Instagram with the same handle. Also, you could email us at dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com with that's O-N-E, not the number one. So dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. And if you guys did enjoy it, please send it to anyone you know that would enjoy listening to this type of content. And we'll see you guys next time. Peace out.